online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Season 2. Penultimate episode, still penultimate episode.
We're coming to a close here, almost.
Next week, that's it. And tonight, Conde versus Francis comes to a head. We'll get the meaning. We have JB Zimmerman.
Yes, you guys can follow me at JB underscore Zimmerman on Twitter.
That's right. Keaton Markey is not here today for a reason you don't want me to share. Oh, man. We had a back and forth with Keaton. She said she was going to come, but the hashtag Royal Bros are here holding it down.
We are.
If you haven't already subscribed at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, do so. Don't want to watch us, want to listen to us instead, go to SoundCloud, go to iTunes, go to all that stuff. It's all there. It's all free. However you want to get us, it's there.
Indeed.
You know what? I really like this episode. There was a lot of the love stuff, but there was a lot of action, too. And I like that.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Like, the action, I think they stepped up a huge amount. I mean, we've seen a lot. Like, they kind of pepper it in every now and again. But this time, it was, like, full-blown, like, Lord of the Rings status. I mean,
I really wanted, like, a, you know, Hobbit 3, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King type battle.
Right.
And maybe we'll get it.
Just like
next
massive
episode.
Armies just like rushing towards.
Yeah.
I'd love that too. Yeah, believe me, that's.
The coup is progressing. And speaking of progressing, we have Keaton Markey on the line.
Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hello, Keaton.
Oh, I'm so sorry I can't be there tonight.
Yeah, what.
what castle are you visiting tonight?
What castle? Well, we have to wait for Castle Corner for that.
Ooh, well, I thought we sent you on assignment to visit a castle. That's why you couldn't be here tonight.
Exactly. Yes, I am. It will all be revealed in due time.
Nice. Are you feeling better?
Yeah, a little bit better.
Great. How did you feel about the episode?
I thought it was amazing. I loved last week's episode, and I didn't really know how they were going to kind of top that, but I don't know. I felt like it didn't feel like a CW show this week's episode. I mean, I feel like it was because of like all the fighting and all the battles and stuff. It felt like a much bigger production and so much more than just kind of the relationship stories. It was more about kind of this huge event. Going on, so, and I liked that. I like seeing something a little different.
Yeah, before we fully get into that, let's start with the lesser plots. So, you know, I mean, typically we talk about these a lot, but now in the wake of everything, you know, I'm going to call them a little bit lesser plots. Let's start with Leif and Greer / Claude because we get the aftermath, and I always love. This is what I love about TV is that things never really end.
Yeah,
right?
Like they had the craziest breakup last episode. They see each other again, and it's like, well, there's still a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it was goners from last episode. Now it's like, well, I mean, it doesn't
there's
have to
still
be.
A chance.
Yeah.
And it'll, you know, in this regard, it ultimately comes down to Leif and how strong he holds Greer to this. Because if she comes begging back. And maybe if she says everything that he wants to hear in terms of, I'll let go of the brothel, I'm ready for you, then it might work. Because, I mean, certainly that's what Claude says to him about being an independent woman. Sometimes, you know, we just get acclimated to that situation, but you know, it doesn't mean deep down that we don't want someone to protect us.
Right. Actually, I was thinking that Claude might convince him to be, like, to back down a little bit and kind of be more there for Greer and kind of put his desires aside almost to be with her, if he really loves her, yeah. almost.
Keaton, your thoughts?
My thoughts, I mean, I love Lake and Blue together, and last week's episode made me so sad and made me want to shake Blue because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I get it. I get that, like, it's, you know, she's finally in control of herself and her own destiny for the first time ever, and a lot of women don't have that opportunity, no matter your status. And so, you know, I get that. But again, we know from the very first season and the very, I think, first episode, who her soulmate is, and that's Blake. And that's Blake's soulmate is Greer. And so I want to see them together. I want to see them to be able to find a compromise. You know, I don't want to see Greer kind of give in to what Leif wants all the way, and I don't want to see, you know, Leif just kind of let his morals and what he believes in go completely, but I want them to be able to find a compromise. I don't know what that compromise is, but I hope they can find it because I think they need to be together, and I want to see them together.
Do you think we're going to find next episode? I don't know if we're going to wrap everything up by
right.
next episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of untied storylines for sure.
No, I think they're going to leave us with a lot more questions than answers. So I have a feeling that, like, with what they left us with this episode, there's going to be even more, like, next episode. Because, I mean, they have these seasons are so long that they can put in so much information. So don't leave us hanging, as they do.
There you go. There you have Greer. There you have Leif. I guess the only other part about I thought it was great seeing Claude and Leif's interaction, but the question of tonight is, did Claude really see something? And if so, what was it? And what danger does it hold? Is it supernatural? Is it human? What is it?
Right. But also, what was she seeing with Leif? I mean, I sort of felt some chemistry between them, like actual genuine connection.
Oh, there was so much chemistry between them. I mean, I felt like it's kind of gone from, I feel like, her first wanting to seduce him just because she's kind of a crazy little bitch, to them actually kind of caring for each other in like a brother-sister love-hate way, to now I feel like they're becoming friends. And they have chemistry, and I get nervous with that chemistry between those two and the loose cannon that is Claude, and what she's going to do with that chemistry, and also Leif, who is very emotional and very hurt at this moment with when it comes to women. So I don't know; they might get into trouble. Those two.
By the way, are you getting an echo? Mm-hmm. I feel like all phone calls, right, and it's any radio station, you're like at a point where it's like kind of working, kind of not. Are you guys getting an echo?
It sounds okay to me. I mean, I can tell that she's on the phone and she's not here in the studio.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just want to make sure that, like, Keaton's words are heard because I can hear him. But again, it's that point of, like, doesn't sound great. But you can still kind of hear it, so you're like, okay, hopefully, audience members back home, you're listening, you're good. Let's talk about Kenna, because there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
She makes a huge advancement to General Renault, and it comes back at her, but then not so much, because he says, you know what, I did this because of my son and all that, but. In the fight, ultimately, actions speak louder than words. She was rooting for Bash.
She was. She definitely defended Bash. And had she not said something, you know, he could have lost that fight. I mean, there was it's kind of a crazy, intense battle where there was a lot of people going on. So she was definitely Team Bash, which is good to see that she would cheer for her husband. I know that they've kind of been separated for the time being. But honestly, this like sorceress succubus that he's with is crazy.
I hate
like she's a kook.
Lady. She creeps me out.
She creeps you out. Is that what you said?
I've never really had a huge issue with her, but like the way she's talking about babies already, I don't know. She's just a little forward and
a little forward.
Well, she sees the future.
She went like zero to a bunch of kids future.
Which, by the way, any like. any woman can kind of, if they like someone, that's their future right. that they see.
Right.
You don't have to be a seer to try to see yourself in that.
True, but most of them don't say it out loud.
No, there's some crazy ones
really?
That do.
Okay, well.
But you're not crazy if you want that. I'm sorry, woman. I didn't mean yeah. it to come off that way.
I feel like the supernatural has kind of like taken a back seat most of this season. And even the storylines that it has been involved in, it's definitely been not the main storyline that all this kind of stuff has been going on in. And so I'm kind of excited to see her welcomed into the castle, to see kind of where, you know, what shoes that Nostradamus left open, like that she can fill, and to kind of get more storylines besides the political and the love story stuff, and to get some more supernatural stuff going. But she freaks me out. I want her to stay away from Bash. I'm like, Bash, what are you doing? This
well,
is crazy.
What is this ritual that she does with the servant?
Yeah, know? I mean, she definitely banged that servant dude.
It was a ritual.
Still.
That's what I you know what, we need more. Hey, you want to go for a ritual tonight?
I mean,
oh god,
if I was a servant, I'd be like, all right, a little wine,
he had no problem. He said, whatever. Hey, if I'm gonna die, I might as well
get it's not one. A bad way to go
get a
just saying.
Yeah, Keaton, if some guy asked you to go out on a ritual, what would you say?
I would say absolutely not. I know it's just for me, ritual process. If it was Nostradamus, I might think about that.
Fair enough.
No. I don't think so. I think I would stay far away.
No rituals for you in the foreseeable future?
Pass on the ritual. Got it.
Stay away from the rituals that might be. I mean, take it like a marriage, like getting married is technically a ritual.
Right.
So, I mean, who knows? Maybe if the right guy came along with a big enough ring, I'd go.
Oh, okay, yeah, I like that part of it.
There
right.
you go. So there's
We'll let that slide. We'll move back into rain, so people don't really contemplate too much about your gold diggerness.
Right.
Keaton, just quit while you're ahead.
Rain definitely does do a great job at making the audience not side with this sorceress. I mean, I'm not even sure if we hear her name at all. I mean, we haven't seen her very often. I think this is the only second, maybe third time that we've seen her in an episode. And
but Bash likes her.
Right, exactly.
And he's the one who propels her to go to court. She kind of wanted to be alone. And so, you know, you can understand why she's taking a liking to him.
I don't hate on that. I feel like they want us to circle back to the Kenna Bash relationship. Like that.
I feel like if they did, though, would they fully, like, I feel like Bash shouldn't have propelled her forward in such a way.
Well, no, I mean, they were on a break, Phil. They were on a break.
That doesn't mean one doesn't hurt.
A lot of these relationships go on breaks in this show, and it's hard for me to believe that back then, or even nowadays, you know, people were so kind of just chill with, like, yeah, it's not working out, you know, we'll maybe get a divorce or an annulment, but let's just, you know, feel free, honey, go sleep around, do what you want to do, I just want you to be happy.
I feel like in at least our, like, the younger age bracket, that does happen a lot. I mean, like, granted, we don't get married, like, right off the bat, but the times are different. Like, now, it is socially acceptable to get married and have kids later in life, so we don't really need that intense, like, formal commitment that early in life. They pretty much get married probably at, like, 15. You know, like, obviously,
So I'm just talking about, like, the married couples being like, hey, I just want you to be happy, so since you're not happy with me, yeah, go sleep with my archenemy.
I don't think certainly Renaud wasn't an arch enemy of Bash's. You know, that's someone that kind of found and picked
I'm
out.
Speaking more around Marion Condé.
Yeah, I mean, even them were cousins at the start. I think them being in that love triangle and those sort of overlapping were like, where one relationship breaks and kind of another one forms creates the amnesty that we see.
Yeah, let's hold off on Mary, because I got a lot of stuff to say
Jesus.
About Mary.
I have like a laundry list.
I want to hold off. I want to talk about everyone else first before I like
just go to town. Okay, well yeah, let's
so you know, so we have that in terms of Bash and Kenna. You know, we'll see how it goes, because Kenna kind of comes back around with Renaud. You know, she because this is something that he said to her before, was that his son means a lot to him, and so him switching sides, you know, it reinforces it of like, hey, I got to see my son, and that was the only way to kind of stay him alive. You know, and he kind of shared the information, not that it did much good for the troops. Like,
yeah, it's like they were already there. We can see them outside, General. Thanks.
Yes.
Big help.
Yeah, so in that regard, he wasn't really doing much. So it is what it is. Let's talk about Narcisse, because here's the most interesting plot to me of the entire season, apart from the Condé one.
Right.
Where you have a guy who we were saying, this guy needs to be killed off, to now be...
I completely 180 on this guy. I mean, I respected him because of his just the classic innuendo lines that he would whip out. But I still was like, he's got to go. Like I almost predicted every episode that he would be taken out. And now to be on the complete opposite side where it's the same sort of thing that they did with Catherine. I mean, all throughout season one, I was like, Mary's got to take her out. Like, poison in the wine, no problem.
I don't know if I'd say, like, Catherine ever needed to die. I feel like, yes, she was a threat and things like that, and they you know, that threat needed to be neutralized, but it was never, to me, the solution of death. Whereas with Narcisse,
I'm sorry. Do
fair
not
enough.
Ever.
I don't know. What? Sorry.
What?
No, you go. What were you saying?
Don't you ever say Catherine should die. Catherine is the best. Hashtag Team Catherine all the way. What are you doing?
I'm Team Royal Bros. And when she there were times where she got in between even the Royal Bros. She wanted to kill Bash. Let us not forget, people.
To be fair, I don't want her to die either. But after tonight's episode, she's pretty...
Like a piece of old Catherine reared its head today, and she made the person who she said she loved eat, like, his horse, like, his best friend, like, his literal, like, his, like, non-human companion.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
what? That is so messed up.
Yeah. And we didn't know, you know, initially it was like, how poisoned is it? Is it poisoned? Is it going to die? What's going to happen here? And I give him so much credit, because he's like, wait, you want to actually move on from this? Like, you did this to me and you want to move on as if nothing had happened? Yeah, absolutely. I'll see you tomorrow, honey.
Right. Well, no, I mean, I respect Catherine. She's a very intelligent person. She's a very calculating and ambitious person. But she is a monster of a human being. Like, she is not a good person. Like, her moral fiber is no good.
Absolutely. And so it is, you know, I really feel bad. And I feel like Narcisse Stefan has a lot.
Yes.
When did we start calling him Stefan? Narcisse has a lot to... What's that?
I had no idea who Lola was referring to when she said Stefan. I was like...
is that another servant?
Yeah. And by the way...
And the baby's name is John, apparently.
Yeah, when did we get that? I don't know.
News. You heard it here.
AfterBuzz TV exclusive. Yeah. It was just one of those things, like... and I'm glad, in a weird way, I'm glad Lola and Narcisse were able to work it out, because you and I were very worried of she's going to hate him forever. But she even saw through that. I give her so much credit, Lola, that she knew exactly why he did it. And there he is pleading with her, like, hey, remember me not for the lies and things like that I had, but as the man that would have cherished you. But she does say, I don't know if what's more deplorable, her or that you agreed to it. And he, you know, they find embrace.
They do. I mean, just for a split second, again, and...
That's all they could do.
Yeah. I know that he was sort of caught hand in the cookie jar also when Catherine was accusing him of all this stuff. But at the same time, during that moment, he never lied. I mean, like, he didn't volunteer information and shoot himself in the foot. But, you know, I think he sort of handled it well. Like, he said, what had happened. Like, he was truthful to the situation and how much it actually didn't mean anything. Like, he was saying goodbye, like, possibly forever to someone that he loved in his past. Maybe still does.
And that was a great, that was a whole great scene of, you know, how love ultimately doesn't make any sense, right? Why did Francis do what he did for Mary? And so on and so forth, the various examples that he gave. And I thought that spoke really well and true. And you could view love as that if you want to.
Right.
It seems to be true, certainly, for the show.
Yep. Jesus.
So, Keaton, any last thoughts on Narcisse?
I agree with you that I really, he's been one of my favorite storylines, as much as I hated him for a while. I just think he's definitely the most complex character they've given us this season. And even though I wanted him to die at many times, I'm glad he stuck around.
Keaton, question for all the, because we obviously have a huge female fan base. Did that get you kind of like hot and bothered? You know, I mean, it seemed to do that for a lot of the women on the show with him in terms of how he acted. His as JV mentioned, his innuendos and such. Was that like a frustration? But like, ah, if he took me to bed, things I would do.
I mean, Narcisse is, you know, they've had him take off his shirt a couple times, and he's a pretty good looking man, but he doesn't really get me hot and bothered like King Henry did. So
you like
the
king. Yeah, okay.
Fair enough, yeah.
A lord will not do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we've established one thing tonight on the episode, that Keen loves power.
She does.
No, I'm not that into Narcisse. No,
I get it. It's the size of the ring that counts. You got to be a king. The heavy is the... Yeah, I get it.
Over Francis any day.
You would take what?
I would take Bash over Francis any day.
Let's rewind to season one of Rain and see if that's true. Mm,
no.
Definitely not. All right, moving on.
Speaking of hand caught in the cookie jar.
We've all grown up over the last year, Phil. We've all grown. We've changed. We've learned new things.
I get that, but don't say, you can't say you would take Bash over Francis any day, because...
Yeah, I thought you were... Were you not Team Francis?
Oh, no. Let me clarify, boys. I was always Team Francis for Mary. I always thought Francis would be a better fit for Mary. Bash and Mary were not a good fit. Doesn't mean my personal preference. I would love Bash.
Okay. So, okay, but this ties perfectly...
also makes not a gold digger.
Fair enough. But this ties perfectly into, you know, there's a line, and this is where we're open up the can of worms, right? And we'll kind of go any which way this does, because there's a lot to talk about. But I want to start with Mary, because she says that, you know, I've always had the true love, it's you kind of thing, and that means that it's Louis. She loved Francis, this whole argument of my true love, she left Bash, season one, came back to Francis, it was always you, sweetheart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, talk about
loved you, not.
Oh my God, I can agree more, Phil. Like, talk about true love. What is more, like, true love than someone, like, you were always meant to be with? Like, your entire life. I mean, I'm not a huge advocate of arranged marriages or anything, but like you talk about true love, like what could be more reminiscent of that than something like where your entire life, like everything you've ever known, is you will marry like this person who is the rightful king.
But she married Bash, and it could have been Bash.
Right.
And
no, exactly.
That was never in the plans, but it was like, oh, I like Bash. But no, you don't like Bash. You thought you loved Bash. You actually, your true love was always Francis, and they were good together, and now here's Conde that comes along. Like, I feel like Francis, whatever sins he might have had, he's paid for. Which, by the way, are not sins to me. The guy never cheated. The guy didn't really, he lied, but at the cost of trying to save your life, because and the act he did was kill the king, so I get that, but it was all for the betterment of you. And despite all this, continues to be by your side at the cost of his own life, and now you betray him one last time by leaving in the middle of the night to tell your hubby that you're pregnant and that you want to be with him, knowing full well that it pretty much means the end of Francis's life. Congratulations.
Right. Yeah, there was nothing about the end of this that made me happy, really, at all. Like, I was so upset. Like, I mean, obviously, Team Royal Bros, but I liked Mary as a character. Like, as a person, I thought, like, you know, they, relationships kind of have their downfalls. Like, you know, it's kind of, it's not always roses, but
sunset.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I felt like, you know, they would find their way back to each other. Like, that is the way it's supposed to be. Mary and Francis, like, Scotland, France, always been allies.
And what it, you know, Francis said, like, just if, you know, you can't have a child, that I cannot, there's certain things I can't protect you. One of them was a child. And now we have a child. It's just, why and for what, you know, there's no, you gave up your whole political stature, and you know, she's making the decision, like, hey, if I stay with Francis, there's going to be unpardonable things that even he cannot, you know, forgive me for, and you put yourself in this position, your selfishness put you in this position, so it's not like he's being unreasonable. It's like, okay, you're right. What choice does he have when you've pushed, you've helped last episode to Louis again, despite Francis saying, please don't do that.
Yeah. Like, specifically.
Mary's been so annoying the past couple episodes. I mean, I completely agree with everything you've said, Phil, which is very rare. I completely agree with everything you said, because Francis does not deserve what Mary's been doing to him and how she's been treating him, and I feel like she is taking it very lightly, and now it's like, and not only her country is she could basically lose her country, but also France now, and it's just like, what are you doing? You could never have Conde. You knew that, Mary. You knew that. What are you doing? You're just hurting people, and you're hurting your people and your country, and it just, she's being so selfish. She has been so, so selfish. And I understand she needed to heal from the situation she went through, which was a terrible, terrible thing to happen to anybody, but not at the expense of so many other lives. She's just been so selfish.
And it's not like Francis didn't try to help her through this. He's always been supportive. So first and foremost, it's not like, hey, get over it. Like, he wasn't insensitive.
Yeah, he's been there. It's not like he's been distant. He's been trying everything he can possibly do to get back to where they were. Like, that's what's so frustrating, is that he's been trying. He's been there. He's been supportive. He's been, like, everything we could have asked.
Go ahead, Keaton.
No, I agree. He's been a good dude. He's been a good husband, and he's just been trying to, like, take steps back, and, you know, be there if he ever thought she needed something. And again, it's just like, I don't agree with the whole situation of, hey, yeah, wife, I want you to be happy, so we have to stay married, but go sleep with this guy who, if I die, he has a claim to the throne. I don't know. I just, it's, I don't think that was obviously a smart decision for Francis. But again, yes, as you said, he was trying everything in his power just to make Mary happy, to help her. And it's just, this is all backfired.
Right.
Mary, worse.
So much so. I mean, it's one thing where she was just overwhelmed by her feelings when it was, like, you know, after the fact of her, like, intense episode. But to even to now, in this stage that we're at, go against, like, every bit of rationality. Like, he is aligned with England, like, your enemy. Like, he has their troops outside.
And that's what, like, you know, what I spoke about this last episode, where, you know, Francis said, like, he's planning a coup, and Mary says he's not like that. And today she said, no, he won't do that. Mary, you, in the past two episodes, right? I was going to actually give, like, an actual timeline. Right. I don't know what the timeline is. In the past two episodes, let alone, you know,
he just got married to someone else. He literally had a proxy wedding, like, last episode.
But, exactly. So, oh, okay. But
speaking of the wedding, can I give a shout out to somebody about the proxy wedding?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so the proxy was played by Megan Heffern, who we've had in studio at AfterBuzz. Nice. I did Spotlight on with her, and she is so awesome. And I just want to give her a shout out because she's amazing, and it was so exciting to see her in Rain because she's good friends with a lot of the cast members. So, anyways, I digress. But yeah, that's all I wanted to do.
There you go. It's almost like you're our proxy.
Yeah,
you're on the phone. But what I was going to say is that Mary clearly has been proven wrong multiple times about, like, the evidence is in front of you. So the fact that you're so blind, stupid, ignorant, whatever you want to call it, good or bad, you know, you could call it love, but you're wrong. And it's at the cost of, you know, as we're saying, at the cost of everything. And yes, you are 100% crazy if you feel that Elizabeth is going to let you live. Now that you're reunited with Conde. Conde is foolish to think that.
Right.
He's going to now have his French army after this. And he's going to have to go fight Elizabeth to keep Mary.
Yeah. There's no end in sight. And he'll lose. Like, if he takes over the French court, you know, he doesn't have that many soldiers of his own. Like, they're pretty much just the Protestant radicals. Maybe some of the Bourbon armies, but that's a pretty small state, to my understanding. Like, compared to England, they're,
and you have
it's
to
not
look
be close.
Look at, you know, Keaton. This is where your history comes in. But correct me if I'm wrong. Elizabeth's number one goal, yes, it's France and things like that, but it's also in the political pressure that she is facing. It's to have a male by her side that she can lead with. So
yeah.
She's not gonna all of a sudden, like, go ahead. Here's Conde and Mary, and they're married, and I have a strong foot in France, but I still have no king. I don't think that's gonna fly. Go ahead, Keaton.
Elizabeth was known for, obviously, she was getting tons of political pressure to marry somebody, but she was also known for basically she knew she was never gonna give in to that. She was never, she would flirt with guys all the time, but she would never feel like she was not somebody who was ever planning on getting married, ever. And so but those are the rumors that went around too. Like, people kind of knew that. Like, she was not going to give up her full status of power as queen to somebody else who wasn't, an English monarch. And so this is another reason why it also was very confusing to me. And they kind of played off of it a little bit. They had Conde kind of say a little bit, oh, I never thought, you know, Elizabeth was really going to get married. So they're twisting history a lot, as Rain does. But, I don't know. I felt like Conde was smarter than this. I felt like he was a better person than this. And it really disappoints me, all the steps he's kind of taken at this point.
I don't think he's being real stupid. I mean he's following his destiny, if you want to call it that. I mean, what he's doing is smart. He's and his brother pushed him to it his whole life to some extent.
Yeah,
it
no,
is what
I mean,
it is. I don't blame him ultimately. I blame Mary. She should have seen this coming.
Right. And he is ambitious and everything. It doesn't make me like him in relation to everything else because of what he's ruining, which is to say everybody's lives. But, like, in the if he really did love Mary and if they were to be together, like, could we even get over the fact that he married someone else? Like, real, like the day after he left her, he just shotgun wedding'd in Vegas. Or the fact that he kidnapped her to, like, blackmail her husband.
Yeah.
You know, or the fact that he's about to lay siege on her home and kill everybody that she's known. Like, I feel like the for them to even have any type of life, like, not even a short one, like, a week outside of this, like, that would be the worst week ever for them. Like, they have no future. Like, I can't. That's why
we need
I'm
this
so
year
unhappy.
To see this.
I'm so unhappy with this show right now.
It's something on my. I'm unhappy with Mary. Fair you enough. Know, and
well,
I don't.
Mary, when Mary is like the lead in the show, it makes it's frustrating to see this great heroine and this great kind of strong female character. I don't know. They like kind of make these decisions that she's making. It's just frustrating.
Here's the thing. It's frustrating because you're right. She's a very strong character, and in that sense, she's being, you know, she's being guided by emotions, which isn't a bad thing, right? If you had a case of a woman being guided by emotions, but it was working out, then that's a good example. I think that stuff happens all the time, and it's all well and good. But in this scenario, when we're talking about possible bloodshed, it doesn't come off well. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't portray women in power in the best
right.
of light. And that's also upsetting.
Yeah, no, exactly, Phil. I feel like, you know, obviously you can't, like, no one's perfect. Not every decision is going to be a good one. People are going to make mistakes. But where I see the fault in her is that she's made so many mistakes and continues down that path. Like, she knows, it's not a secret that's, like, not a good relationship move that she should make. But, yeah, she still does it. Like, she's unable to correct herself, which is interesting because she's such a strong character. We've seen her in the past overcome incredible hurdles and obstacles. And to see someone that, you know, we've rooted for so many times before, you know, obviously people make mistakes, but to see her just tumble down this path and, you know, just without any sight of redemption, like, every time we get a glimpse of it, like, oh, she's going to get back. Like, now we're going to get back with where we should be with Mary and Francis, like, living happily ever after. She just destroys it.
And, you know, I look at it, Francis is almost operating from worst-case scenario, which obviously has come to be, and that's fine. Now, no person, king or otherwise, should operate on worst-case scenario only all the time. However, again, if you look at everything, kind of what's been happening, look at the best-case scenario for Mary and Louis. It wasn't that great to begin with.
Right.
So what do you think the outcome could possibly... If the best case scenario is nowhere near what you need it to be,
right.
It's not a good idea. It's just not.
Yeah, the best case scenario was horrible. What, they flee to Scotland? They're fugitives from France and England still hates them? Like, what? That's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, she's a runaway queen that, like, left her sacred bond to an affair of...
Yeah.
His cousin? Like, what? That's a horrible ending.
Yeah. And again, that was a best,
yeah,
case,
best
scenario. If your best case scenario, hey, like, you know, you get all of England, you get all of Scotland, you get all of France and Spain and Iceland,
right.
Whatever. You get all of Europe. Then okay. Then you got something to play for.
Yeah. The thing that people may miss, because it is easy to get swept up in the characters, you know, like the emotions of love, like seeing these people like actually have feelings for each other does, you know, entrance you, like the viewer, and it's meant to. But the fact is, like, Francis did nothing to cause all this harm to what's happening in France.
No.
Like, all of this this entire, like, all of the death that's happened, basically this half, last half of the season, like, the demise of France possibly, is because of Mary and her actions. Completely. Like, had she not had anything with Condé, none of this would have happened. He was Francis's cousin. Like, he would have just sat there in Bourbon, like, same old, same old.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, I think we overall covered a lot of it. Condé, you know, he's really turning a corner, using, obviously, the son of Renault to kind of get back at... And have him switch sides. I mean, that was a big power play.
Yeah.
Toulon? How do you pronounce
Toulon,
it?
Toulon?
The city. Toulon?
Keaton? Do you know?
The city they took over. The weapons city.
I believe it was Toulouse.
Toulouse. Okay, there you go. Obviously, a strategic move on their part. So we're getting a whole different side. I really love the strategy and the war kind of tactics of all of this. I thought that was great. Anything else you guys want to touch upon before we start to wrap out of here?
Nope.
Okay.
Keaton.
All right. So there. Yeah. Thanks, Keaton. all right, guys. Next week is the finale, so let's get into some predictions for that.
Yeah. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, a couple things. I will not be here for the finale. I highly doubt I can call in. So with that, I propose to you guys now that we do a special season finale, or season recap the week after, and we'll recap the entire season. I know Keaton's working to get some guests, so maybe that's a great way to get some people in. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Can't promise anything.
Yeah.
But we can also, worst case scenario, maybe we'll do like a round of 5 Castle Corners all in one episode.
Just how's that Castle Corner fest?
I know we've dropped the ball on Castle Corner a little bit, and things like that. But I feel like if we recap the season, it'll be a fun episode. We can all, you know, we can have fans call in for that as well. You know, we're always pressed for time, so we don't always get to interact as much as we'd like to. But that could be a fun little thing. Maybe we'll do it a little bit earlier too, so that way East Coast can participate a little bit more, and the West Coast too. I think that could be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, I know our buddy King Henry Alan Van Spring has said that he does want to try to come in next time he's in town, so maybe we can check in and see if he's in town. And I know I've been seeing a lot of social media postings from a couple of the other stars that are in town, so who knows? Yeah, that would be really fun. I think that's a great idea, though.
So there you go. Do we conclude the war next week? We see Queen Elizabeth. Queen versus Queen versus Queen.
Man, I'm so excited about that. Like, finally, after... I mean, she's been in the conversation since, like, episode one.
I think her wrath is season 3. I think that's, like, the
right.
Like, we can't solve everything, you know?
Right.
And, well, I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah. No, again, I mean, this is sort of where I wanted it to go with... bringing in new characters, making the Rain world, if you will, bigger.
I just wanted it a little bit earlier, but I'm not going to hate on
it. Oh my god, do I not want a full season of, like, Condé and Mary. Like, that's just... I'm out. I'm out, Phil. I'm out, Keaton.
Well, we'll find out. I don't think it's going to be that. Obviously, you know, so much... There was a highlight of Queen versus Queen versus Queen, but obviously, everything kind of remains. Does Condé die, or does Francis die? And I really think it's going to get answered next episode. I don't know how.
No.
What if they both die? I feel like a stalemate is the only...
Yeah. I feel like... Here's the thing. You can't beat around the bush on that. You know, if you're going to have a character die, you got to just go for it. Take a page out of ABC's Revenge, because they've been doing that crazy over the past couple seasons, and they're coming up. That's a show that I host as well. But Rain, you know, certainly the writing's been phenomenal. And if you're gonna do it, you gotta just go for it. I don't think there's what they did with Narcisse. I thought they would have to kill him off. They did it great there. I don't see a similar thing happening with Conde, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say that Jill Bauer, who I've been meaning to give a shout out to, she's huge with tweeting us on Twitter and following us on Instagram. She says that Francis is absolutely going to be dead by season end. So.
Oh well, thank you, Jill, for your hateful words.
I am team Robros all the way. I am going to be so upset if Francis does not make it.
I think too. You know, I love Conde, but honestly, I'd rather see him go than Francis. So there you have it. All right. We will be. Oh, I will not be, but JB and Keen, can you promise you're going to be here next week to the fans?
I promise to be there next week. I'm so sorry.
All right. Keaton will be here. JB will be here. I will not, but I'll be back here for the recap of the season two.
Maybe we can get Tina back for that.
That's right. We'll try to get some people. We'll be back. Thank you guys for joining us. Leave a comment below. Let us know what you're thinking. There's a lot, you know, season finale coming up next week. A lot to discuss. So, you know, be bold. Get your theories out there now and be the one that said, see, I told you so that would happen.
Nice. Yeah.
Because if you don't write it, I can't validate you. And of course, there's Twitter. So, Keaton, what's your Twitter?
My Twitter's at Keaton Markey. I almost have 1,000 followers.
There you go, Keaton. Get nice. Keaton Markey, get her to 1,000 followers. JB_Zimmerman.
Yes, on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right. And AfterBuzz TV, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Subscribe, rate, comment. We love you guys. We'll see you for the season finale of Rain.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.